Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. And we've had some interesting cases recently dealing with estate and like changes, health changes as people get older.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you sort of give a bit of background about one case in particular. We won't name any names to protect the innocent, but it is a case that we see, is quite common, and how do we deal with it?
So yeah.
Run with this. Give us a bit of background first. Yeah.
So Dave, what happened last week, one of our clients sat down with me, and I meet with them regularly, I'd say, yeah. And we kind of go through what's going on in their lives and their family and so forth. And I'll paint the case for you, or the situation that happened. We've had these clients now for over 10 years. About 4 years ago, the wife had a stroke. And it was a tough time for her. She hasn't recovered. In fact, she's been deteriorating over the past 4 years. Mm-hmm. The husband has been taking over the whole financial management, which he was never doing in the past. Mm-hmm. So this has been a big learning curve for him. Prior to the stroke, they had their wills set up based upon our conversations, yep, and what they wanted. They met with a lawyer. They got it all drawn up. And I'll kind of walk you through what the will said.
Okay.
In the event one of them pass away, all the assets goes to the surviving spouse.
Okay.
Common.
Yep.
You see that all the time.
Yep.
What was interesting is these two individuals do not have any children, but they have siblings and nieces and nephews and so on and so forth. And so what happened was the wife said that if my husband predeceases me, mm-hmm, I want my money to then go to four beneficiaries, nieces and nephews and, mm-hmm, and a sister. And the husband said, yeah, good idea. I'll pick nieces and nephews and my brother. So the secondary beneficiary, think of it that way. So if both spouses have passed away, mm-hmm, who does that money go to?
Yeah.
The surviving spouse's money goes to the secondary beneficiary, which are four people. Each of those wills were four different people. So think of it as you,
yep,
and your wife,
yep,
and your beneficiaries are different than her beneficiaries are. Now, let's fast forward 4 years. The wife's, after she had her stroke and she's been deteriorating, is no longer has the capacity,
right,
to handle her own affairs.
Right.
So power of attorney has been invoked. And in this situation now, she can't change her documents, her will, her power. She doesn't have the capacity to do so, but the husband does.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question now goes, well, if I mean the husband passes away before my wife does,
mm-hmm,
all this money's going to go to her. She's not in the capacity to take care of herself. So the secondary executor will have to take care of that. But now the money that I thought was going to go to my beneficiaries after her are not going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I do?
Right.
And that's where I sat down with and chatted with Catherine Zhang, who is a reoccurring guest on our show. Catherine, yeah, is an estate lawyer, an associate at Walsh LLP. And we had a good conversation about this case. And I think this is a good case to bring to the public to kind of have a learning outcome, because we talk about set up your wills.
Right.
We talk about make sure you write down your beneficiaries and you have this conversation. But what if you've done that and what you thought was a good plan all of a sudden changes because of circumstances?
Yes, right.
So Catherine, first I want to bring you back on the show. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, so we had this conversation earlier this week about the case. First of all, give us your thoughts about how I painted the picture. Did I miss anything, or is there anything you'd like to add?
No, I mean, I think it coincides with what we talked about earlier this week. I think the really unfortunate part of the situation is now that the information has come to light that this is no longer perhaps what the couple wants to do with their estate plan, it's unfortunate because the wife is in a position, based on the POA being invoked, that she can't change her testamentary documents. And so the question really is, well, what can the husband now do to get his affairs in order and to try and still affect his wishes while not defeating the intentions of his wife and not defeating or taking away assets that rightfully belong to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we had a discussion about that.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the ideas that we chatted about that could be potential solutions. There's still a lot more conversation that our client needs to go through. There has to be a whole bunch of advice. There has to be a whole bunch of research done. So this is just our preliminary conversation. I think this is a good point to start telling everybody. This is not a recommendation. This is not a solution. This is just a point to start thinking about on the next steps.
Mm-hmm. I think the first key was absolutely speaking with his advisors, so his financial advisors and his legal advisors, just to talk about realistically for the duration of his and his wife's lifetime, what are the objectives of the estate plan now? And I think you and I both came to an agreement that one of the essential parts is going to be making sure that the wife is taken care of during her lifetime.
Yeah, let me
and
just so, jump in there right there. Really yeah. slow, sorry, Catherine, but Dave, this is where the key thing comes into play is because the wife is incapacitated,
right.
had a stroke, cannot take care of herself, needs care given to her going in the future.
Yep.
The primary objective that both spouses want, even before this unfortunate situation happened, was to make sure each of the two are okay.
Correct.
And so are taken care of. And so this is where it's not just putting it on a piece of paper. It's the analysis prior to putting it on the paper that's required. Catherine gave us some great insight on that, that we need to sit down with this client and we'd have to bring in other professionals to sit down and actually go through a financial analysis of what are the needs of the wife in order to make sure she's taken care
of. Yeah, in the event he's not around, yes.
Because it's very, you know this as well as I do,
yep.
it's very expensive
yep.
for care, especially if the person who was doing it free of charge because he loves her
right.
and wasn't charging her. Now you got to outsource those services to somebody else. We got to recalculate what the real need is for this individual.
Correct.
Sorry, Catherine, go ahead. Keep on going.
Yeah, no, and in addition to those needs, you're talking about perhaps healthcare professionals or staying at a specified home and other medical bills. So it's important to have an idea of what that all looks like and to understand how that fits into the financial picture, whether or not there's going to be sufficient funds to do that or whether or not there's going to be more than enough funds. And then, you know, then the husband can start thinking about, well, if the way the wills are written now, do not now reflect what my intentions are. How do I do some estate planning to make sure my current wishes are reflected? And so we talked about in the event that he had separate quote-unquote secondary beneficiaries in mind, that perhaps a solution such as a lifetime gift would be possible, because then he's not defeating the intention of both of their wills. He's just doing his own estate planning or changing his own documents. And the key to that being, and you and I talked about this at length, Faisal, is making sure that knowing that he was acting as attorney for his wife, that he was not disposing of assets that would otherwise be considered hers or that she would be entitled to. And it's difficult to calculate sometimes because they're joint on everything. And so how do you disentangle what might be yours and what might be you have acquired solely versus through a joint account? That's a difficult analysis, and that's where it really requires your client to sit down and have a think about that with perhaps you or other professionals.
So let me just recap there. There was two options. One is to gift that some money to your beneficiaries that you've already selected while you're alive.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lifetime gift. The second one is redo your documents to fit the change in circumstance now. And I think that's one of the things that our client said was, I don't want to give this money in advance.
Right.
I want to make sure that my wife is taken care of first.
Right.
So the intention of what Catherine is saying is what the intention is of our client.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of now, how do we put that in? And so I think this is the next step. So a learning outcome on this, Dave, is that things are going to change in your life. And what you thought was going to happen in your estate documents, like a will, may not be the same as it's going to happen in the future. So you'll have to be nimble enough to change it. And there's a key point in time called incapacity where that's it. It's a lock-in date.
Yep.
You can't change it. And so understand that you should review these estate documents regularly is very important. Catherine, we have about 40 seconds or so left. What couple of tips can you recommend or give advice to our listeners about thinking about these things that could happen in the future, because nobody thinks about this kind of a case that's going to happen to them until it's there.
Okay, so two things. One, check your documents regularly. Make sure you're reviewing them on a year-to-year basis so that if things do start changing, you've still got the opportunity to make those changes in advance of an event like this where you lose capacity. If you're checking everything every year, then your documents are going to be relatively up-to-date. The second thing is, if you are in a situation where you're like your clients, you've got two different wishes on what you want to do with your gift over assets, what you've got to ask yourself is, do you have any assets that you own alone that are not joint with anyone else that you can direct those assets to go to those different beneficiaries? Because those are the only assets that you're going to be able to control the gift over to in that type of situation.
Catherine, we want to thank you again for your time today.
Mm-hmm. No problem. It was a pleasure.
We've been joined by Catherine Zhang, an estate lawyer associate at Walsh LLP and a recurring guest with us here at More Than Money. Now, we've got a seminar coming up, my friend, that we should remind everybody about.
That's right. On Tuesday, September 18th, 7 p.m. at the Crowfoot Co-op Wine and Spirits. Now you need to reserve your seat. So give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or you can register online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
And don't forget that you can access any of our past segments at morethanmoneyradio.com. Or you can actually have them directly delivered to you every single week. All you have to do is search up More Than Money CHQR on iTunes or in your favorite podcast app. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR.
David Popowicz and Faisal Karmali are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowicz and Faisal Karmali do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.